Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Oh, Christ the King, Redemptive Ministry. We are trying to get on a little bit earlier and running into a little difficulty, but I think we'll be okay after today. Amen. After all, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We pray that this has been a blessed day for you. And we pray that you've had a blessed weekend as well, knowing that God has some wonderful things in store for you. I'm excited knowing what I know about what God is doing. And I'm just going to say we have some things that are coming up, and we want you to be aware of them, be involved with them, and I'm going to have Prophetess Crystal to go ahead and do our prayer and our announcements, and then we're going to get into this word. And Prophetess Crystal, if you would.
Praise the Lord, everybody. And once again, welcome to Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. Just want to let you know, for today's announcement, every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. That's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. On Thursdays at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. Every Saturday at 7 p.m. Amen and amen. Listen, we want you to go to our website, www.ctkr.org. Learn more about Apostle McQueen and myself. Learn more about the ministry, Christ the King, Redemptive Ministry. And even pray, people of God, about becoming a vision and ministry partner with this ministry to help us spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the nation. As many of you know, we have sons and daughters that we cover around the world. We also ask for your prayers and financial support as well to help them continue on with preaching, teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and raising up a mighty army on his behalf, doing the kingdom work. Amen. Please go to our Facebook pages as well. Like us there. Leave your prayer request and your praise report. Amen. And you can locate us under Christ the King Redemptive Ministry or Women of Prophetic Destiny, also known as WOPD. And speaking of WOPD, this year, October 18th and 19th, I am personally inviting you as my special guest right here for my conference being hosted, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, being held at Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, 213 Stone Street in the beautiful city of Cocoa, Florida. This year's theme, Don't Abort Your Assignment. Powerful message that God has dropped in my spirit. We have men and women of God coming from all over that are going to be bringing the anointed, power-packed, life-changing, deliverance word of God. We want to see you there. We have also praise and worship, amen, prophecies that are going to be coming forth, powerful minstrels, amen, that will be singing the glory of God down. I'm expecting lives to be changed, amen. I'm expecting people to come into their destiny and their purpose and their place and manifest in the glory of God in the earth. That is October 18th and 19th. You can find it on my website, www.ctkr.org. Go to WOPD tab. Click on it. You can see the flyer there with all the information. Amen. And also, we also want you to go to the Facebook pages under either Christ the King Redemptive Ministries or WOPD, Women of Prophetic Destiny. You'll also see that information there to register. It is free. Again, October 18th and 19th. Powerful 2013 Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, WOPD, Women of Prophetic Destiny, located at the Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, 213 Stone Street. All services promptly begin at 7 p.m. Look forward to seeing you there. God bless. Now let us pray. Father, right now in Jesus' name, you are the only one. You are the only one we have come to worship and praise. Mm-hmm. In your name, all glory, praise, and honor. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Father, as we begin to embark upon your word, embark upon your studies, as we begin to spend time with you, Father, right now, as we come to the throne of grace, we bow our heads, we lay aside every weight, we ask that you will forgive us for every sin for this day that so easily besets us. Wash us, God, in your blood. Wash us clean. Wash us over again in the precious blood of Jesus from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet. Wash our minds, our soul, and our spirit. Purify our hands and our hearts and our minds, God, as we come forth to serve you, as we come forth to hear your word, as we come forth to receive instruction. Even now, Father, as we not only just be doers of your word, but we will be hearers as well, walking forth in your destiny, in the manifestation and power of your glory. We say yes to your will, yes to your purpose, yes to your way. In the mighty name of Jesus, oh God, we ask that you will open up our eyes. Let this word that comes forth tonight out of the man of God's mouth, let it bring healing, let it bring deliverance, let it bring comfort. God, let it bring healing. Whatever it is that we need tonight, let the word of God be our portion. In Jesus' name, we give your name all praise, glory, and honor. We thank you. Amen. And amen.
And amen. And we're so grateful for that awesome prayer. Thank you. I tell you, this is definitely a faith walk, and I'm excited. We've been praying and asking God concerning different things that I just want you to know that God has and is answering prayer. There are some things that are occurring ministerially. Amen. Doors for ministry opening up and just that is just awesome. Amen. And I want to look at how awesome he is simply by saying, if you take a look at what God has done and where God has brought us from, you'll notice that there are some things that have happened in your life that God didn't allow you to succumb to it, but he kept you regardless of what it was, you know. So when we look at how good God is, God has done some awesome things. He has progressed us, and he has established. But then again, isn't that what the word says, that we're justified by him and whom the Lord establishes and who he sets up? You know, he sets us up on a different level. I want you to know that once he puts you up, no man can take you down.
Yes,
and vice versa, when he takes you down, no man can put you up. So instead of trying to force our way and try to get our way, we just simply need to do his way, and he has our best interest in mind. Amen.
Amen.
And we know that he's going to take care of us and make sure that we're good. Amen. Amen. Now, let's get into this word. We stopped last Saturday. Yes. Colossians 3. Amen. And we were dealing with the character of a new man.
Yes, yes.
And when we begin to look at the character of a new man, we have to understand that we are all in Christ, amen. And being in Christ means that we know him, we love him, and we follow him. Regardless of how difficult it may be to your carnal mind, you understand that the spiritual things are more important. And what God is saying and what God wants us to do is that much more important. We focus then on the will of God being manifested in the earth, and we are the tools, amen, that he uses to do so. It is our obedience to being used that helps us to get and do what we need done. Amen. Your blessing for being obedient doesn't come until you are simply that, obedient.
Amen.
Amen. Now let's look at this. Let's look at a few things here. Amen. Starting at Colossians 3:12, he says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which you were also called in one body. And be thankful. Yes, we are thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And 17 verse, and I think this is what we're really going to get to tonight. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father, to God the Father through him. Now, we can spend a number of these broadcasts just dealing with, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Because when we go through life and we look at some of the things that we have accomplished or mm-hmm. some of the things that we have thought to accomplish, amen,
mm-hmm.
We have to take very seriously that everything that's been done hasn't been done with the best intention. Amen.
Amen.
Everything hasn't been done, focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. The other side of that, everything has not been done focused on being a child of God.
Yes.
So we have a lot of people then who simply put, say that I'm a child of God, yet still I have my own mind, I have my own ways, I have my own thoughts, I have my own belief systems, I have my own way of doing it. I'm going to do it like I feel like doing it. I'm going to say it like I feel like saying it. And guess what? God is not pleased with that at all. Why would you want to serve him and know that he's not pleased with you, with your behavior, with your with your thoughts. And when we get into this right here, whatever you do in word or deed, when we begin to look at that word, the Bible says very clearly that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So before you can speak something, it has to be in you to speak it. Amen? You saw it a certain way. You thought about it this way, and then you started speaking on it. There's something that I always say, and that is that I don't have an opinion. And I tell my wife that all the time. I don't have an opinion. You know, when it comes down to different things, I don't have an opinion. So when you talk to people and they say, well, what do you think about this? Or what do you think about that? And my thing is, I don't think about that. To me, my ability to think is so important and have clear thought, clarity of thought, that I take very serious the fact that I don't let anything get into my head that shouldn't be there to start with. In other words, if it's going to cause me a problem down the road, it won't be in my, you know, faculties to start with. And how would we be as the children of God if we learn how to govern our minds? You know, I know that James begins to talk about the tongue, but guess what? The tongue is governed by the mind. And the mind has its own belief and way of thinking, but the mouth speaks it out. So when we begin to look at this, whatever you do in word, notice this right here, because we understand that do indeed, amen, whatever you do, okay, it's a deed. It's something that is accomplished. It is an action. But whatever you do in word, look at that there. Because sometimes we give our word very loosely. But sharing with some of the young musicians and singers and different other young men and women that we that God has given us the ability to minister with and talk to and just share with. And I've been speaking to them about character and integrity. Mm-hmm. Amen. And those two words right there are so important, because character and integrity determines a lot of things in your life. We've heard several sayings that your talent will open up doors for you that your character will kick you out of, you know, or your skills or your gift will open up doors that your integrity will shut for you. So what am I talking about when I talk about integrity? First of all, we have to understand that integrity is not something that is a catchphrase, amen? It is a characteristic that we as the children of God should have. There used to be back in the day that people would give you their word, and your word was mine. And nowadays, your word has no worth, amen? So we have to go into other contracts, and with that comes, you know, legalistic jargon and lingos, which can be misconstrued or misinterpreted to your demise or in your favor, depending on how good a lawyer you have. How good an argument can they actually present? So it's never really about truth anymore. It's about perception, amen? And integrity is a quality that we have to get back to and demonstrate as a child of God. Let's look at what integrity is in the dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
It is the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles, moral uprightness. You see that? Huh? So when we talk about that, it means that you have within yourself the proper metal, if you will. You can withstand some things. regardless of how tough it's going to be, you don't crumble or break or fatigue under the stress of being who you really are. You know, I said before, my parents used to make sure that regardless of what was going on, that we did what we need to do. And they would constantly remind us, remember, you represent us. I think one of the times I went out and showed out and was, you know, I don't care about nobody. I don't care. Tell my mama. Tell my dad. Well, yeah, they did. And guess what? When they said, listen, when they came to me and told me that you didn't care about nothing, I don't care how mad you get. I don't care how right or wrong you feel you are. There are ways to deal with things. And this is not the way. And that right there has stuck with me. You can't deal with how, or you can't change how other people feel, how other people think, what other people are going to do. But you can deal with yourself. Amen. And as a child of God, we have to understand that we have to stand upon the word of God. You see, there's the quality of being honest. First of all, if I could deal with that, how many people are just honest nowadays? See, you are honest to a point. You're honest to the place where you actually sit back and think, you know, how is this going to benefit me? Or how is this not going to benefit me? And based upon that, we see your real commitment to truth and honesty. You see that? So if we're dealing with that, then your integrity says, you know, even though it's going to be tough, it's going to be wrong, or it's going to be hard, I'm not going to change to make it wrong. If it's right, it's right. I don't care who like it, amen, or not. But I think that's really something that our parents was trying to teach us when they would get on us and say, listen, I know you're telling me everybody else was doing it, but if they jumped off a bridge, would you jump off of it too? And you would say no, but then your action says yes. So that's where they held our feet to the fire and brought us back in and made us really deal with integrity issues, amen? Let's look at what else it means here. Integrity means having strong moral principles or moral uprightness. And we already know that today morals is a lost thing, you know, in so many different aspects. The moral set, when you begin to talk about a moral code or a moral uprightness, people look at you and think that you're judging them. We have so many, I hate to say it like this, but so many empowered subcultures that everybody has a right to be everybody who has a right, which means that there is no morals anymore because what may be wrong to you may be just fine to somebody else. And for you to say that it isn't, then that causes you to look like you're having the problem. Or you're the one with the situation, amen, if you will. So when we look at integrity, we have to understand, as it relates to the word of God, we have to be those who, in honesty, minister the word of God, but demonstrate the power of the word of God in the earth. You cannot demonstrate that power. Hello, somebody. You can't demonstrate that power while still out there, being out there trying to live your life. Isn't it interesting that Paul said that the life that I live, you know, I die, but the life I now live is the life that I live for Christ. Mm-hmm. So I'm not even living my life anymore. I'm living his life, amen. I mortify this flesh so that the Spirit of God can be shown through me. Amen? You have to understand that. We used to talk about and preach about holiness, but people stopped preaching it because if it didn't raise big offerings, you know, because you start talking about people and their vices and how they live in it, and we don't like this gospel. We want a gospel that make me feel good. Well, you feel better once you get rid of that sin problem. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So when we begin to deal with integrity, we begin to deal with your quality of life, your being honest and being truthful. But then we also deal with the word character. What is character? Character is the mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual. Okay? So it is the quality of being an individual, but it's what makes you that individual. Okay? So there's something that we have always said, and that is that, you know, if you know the character of a person, you never have to really see the person to know if that person has done something one way or the other. Your character speaks of you long before testimony does of you. That's why when people are in court, they seek character references, because what's being said here, if that doesn't fit your character, then that gives us, you know, cause for speculation as to the validity of an accusation. If this is not who you normally are, then what would make you act out at this particular point? Being that there may be no other extenuating circumstances, maybe it's not valid what was said, because your character will always testify of you first. Amen? So look at what it is, the mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual. Isn't it interesting when we begin to talk about character, we can apply it in so many different directions and in so many different places. For example, if we're dealing with the character of a praiser, the person who is a praiser will have a different perception and a different mental makeup and a moral a quality than someone who is not. A praiser is the person who gets on your nerves, because in everything they see, they always see a reason to praise God. You know, they came outside, a butterfly was sitting on the car. Ooh, praise God. The Lord just favored me. Look what he did. He allowed me to have a butterfly sitting on my car. Okay, well, that's wonderful. Maybe you didn't see it like that. But then again, maybe you don't have the character of a praiser. Huh? People who get upset when people praise God too long, and you taking up the service, and you always on the altar, and everybody always got to pick you up and fan you and everything. Well, maybe you don't understand the characteristics of a worshiper. You see that? Someone who has a strong belief in an understanding of the power of God in the name of Jesus will be one who's always talking about miracle signs and wonders. And maybe you don't understand miracle signs and wonders, because if it don't say it in your bank account, if the doctor can't explain it, if the scientists are baffled by it, you just leave it alone. But if no one has an explanation for it and it still happens, guess what? God is still working miracles. And you know what? You just don't have the characteristics or you don't have the character of one of faith. Amen? See, so when we begin to talk about this, it's the mental. The mental deals with how you actually handle and perceive. We're not going into psychological levels here. We're not going to deal with the id and the ego and all the rest of that. We're not going to deal with all of that. Just take it from me at this point, that while you're dealing with the fact that there are some things that happen in your life, when your character is being tried, you find out that integrity stands up with your character, and both of them together prove the worth of who you are. Amen? So you don't have to worry about that. You know, I know when somebody say, you know what, they got upset and cussed everybody up. I said, I know this person for at least 15, 20, 30 years, and if I know them that long and never heard them curse once, how do you expect me to believe that at a drop of a hat they develop the ability to curse like a sailor? You see that? Character. Amen? Integrity. So after all is said and done, the Bible simply says this, and this is where we brought it out at, amen. It says, in whatever you do in word, you see that? Or do all in the name of Jesus of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. So when we begin to look at word and deed, then we have to understand that before you can say anything, your actions, based on your character and your integrity, preach a message before you could even tell them about Jesus. And that's where we need to actually ask some questions tonight. When people see you, do they see Jesus? Amen. Amen. Seems like we're having some technical difficulties tonight. God, that's good. Thank you, callers, for letting me know that we were having the problems with the broadcast. The thing that I'm saying here is that you have to understand that you can have joy in your heart, joy in your spirit. You can be loving to different people without it being a big ado. When you actually love on God and let him love you back. You see that? Huh? When you allow him the ability to speak in your heart, and you know, it's interesting that he gives us songs to sing. Amen. But we're supposed to do the same thing. And this isn't something that he spoke in, that the Apostle Paul spoke at one place. We tend to forget that the Apostle Paul was at odds with different ones who acted certain ways around certain people and different ways around other people. We forget that. We think that the Apostle Paul, was finicky at times, but really the Apostle Paul was giving direction for our Christian living. He was teaching us how to live Christian lives. Amen. If we go to different other scriptures, we'll see some of these same things. Look what it says in Ephesians 5:15. It says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." And you hear us all the time talk about God's will, God's purpose, God's plan. I know you got what you want to do, and you got your way of wanting to do it. But God always has the final say in everything. So we have to focus always on him. Amen. Focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ means that we can do all and represent him at all times. Amen. When you're doing everything in the name of Jesus, amen, you're always fulfilling some aspect of his will for your life. Amen. So, you know, living well is an aspect of his will, but you can live well when you're obedient to his full will for your life. Amen. Because what he does is he makes sure that you understand fully everything that he wants to get out of you, everything that he wants to do with you, everything that he wants to give you, everything that he wants you to have and possess. I shared with you before Ephesians, the first chapter, third verse, that God the Father has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ. Isn't it wonderful that God thought so much about his children, you and I, that he would give us every spiritual blessing? The problem is, as I stated before, is that we have to mature up to that blessing. We have to mature up to that place. When we mature up to it, then we'll see that God has already blessed us and will bless us and will bless us again on top of blessing us. Amen. So if God is doing that, if he will continue to do that, and he will, then we'll live a good life. Amen. And if we live that good life, we'll live that good life because we're obedient to him. Well, preacher, apostle, how do I know that I'm living a good life? Then how come I feel like there's so much more? It's because you're not satisfied with the life that he's given you so far. So God has given you certain things and called you to certain things, but you're still trying to find a way yourself, amen, to get a little bit more. You know, this mindset of strive and pull it in and do it and get it together, and everybody going to recognize me. And when y'all see me, y'all just don't understand and know who I am. And can we just represent Jesus? You see that? Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand, okay, what the will of the Lord is. Huh? Well, you know, I don't think there's a problem with me going out and having a good time, you know, and, you know, kicking it with my friends every once in a while. Okay, let's keep reading. Because this right here hits a lot of people. Prophetess and I had a friend who told us in no uncertain terms that he had found in the Bible anywhere where it said that he can't go out and drink. And I said, well, that's because, preacher, you ain't trying to read the places in the Bible where it talked about you going out and drinking. And he said, well, I haven't found it. I said, well, you need to just look a little bit further. How about you start in Ephesians? You'll probably run across some of this. And he said, I ain't found it in there either. Let me see. Let me show you what he didn't find. 5:18. And do not be drunk with wine.
Right.
Huh? Which is dissipation, amen, but be filled with the Spirit, amen. So when you look at it, you have to understand what dissipation is. But I like that. That number two is good. Let me give you what dissipation is, amen, because you say, okay, do not be drunk with wine. Okay, well, what is dissipation? We have someone who comes around us all the time, and they always trying to find a way to look at a bottle as if this is the best stuff in the world. And it's like, but I ain't touch nothing. It's like, listen, as long as you lusting after it in your spirit, you're going to cause other problems. Eventually, you're going to get to the place where, as somebody just said, you know, I don't drink and I don't cuss. But you know what? This would have been a good time for me to get a drink. I would have needed a drink. I said, really? Okay. Wow. That would have pulled you totally out of character, that event right there. They said, yeah, it's just one of those things. And think about it. As Christians, if you're not a fornicator, why are you always looking and dealing with fornication things? If you're not an adulterer, why are you always looking at and dealing with adultery things? You see that? Let's deal with dissipation. Of course, the action or process of dissipation, the state of being dissipated, okay, which is pretty broad because it still doesn't tell you what dissipation is. Amen? So let's look at two. Let's see what 2 says, okay? It says the action, wasteful, there it is, wasteful expenditure, intemperate living, especially excessive drinking. But number 2 says an act of self-indulgence, especially one that is not harmful. Amusement is the word. Now, you got that out of Bible Dictionary. No, we got that out of the Merriam-Webster Collegiate Dictionary, 11th edition. Thank you. Okay. Squandering. So, I think the Lord had problems with me going out there. The Lord says it's a waste of money. Is that what that just said?
Yeah.
Hmm? An act of self-indulgence, especially one that is not harmful. But you said it's not harmful. Okay, well, let's look at the word in the Strong's. Amen. And as we look at it in the Strong's, we begin to see these other words. Is asotia, which is A-S-O-T-I-A, amen, which is dissipation or debauchery. And some of you reading the King James Version will probably see that word as well, amen. What does it mean? Recklessness, wildness, amen. So as we begin to look at this, we begin to see that there's some bad things that happen with this dissipation that we're talking about, amen. Huh? Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which means he was dealing with something that they thought wasn't harmful.
Right.
That was causing problems in the body of Christ. Amen. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, let me say something to you, because we have understood that there is a time for us to be drunk, but there's never a time for us to be drunk. You're talking in circles, man of God. No, I'm not. There's a time for us to be drunk in the Spirit, but there's never a time for us to be drunk with wine. I was sharing with Prophetess. We was just reminiscing on how the Lord had allowed us to come in and mature and grow through those who he has placed over our lives. And I said one thing to her. I said, you know what? People don't tarry anymore. They don't tarry anymore. When's the last time you heard somebody was drunk in the Spirit? People don't say it anymore, because if people start praising God to the point where they lose themselves, then people start saying, well, you know, it don't take all that. I'm praising him in my heart. I was praising the Lord in my spirit. Well, my brother and sister, you can praise God in your heart and in your spirit all you want, but until that praise comes out of your lips, it can't do nothing for you, because your words, that praise has to hit the atmosphere for it to produce. That's why every word spoken out of the mouth of God, you know, was empowered to complete whatever he spoke it to do. Amen? So if you're just speaking words in your heart, then you're not really hitting on nothing. Amen? I know we don't want to hear that, because we want to believe that I have, you know, the meditation of my heart. But then that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable on your sight. Okay, that's wonderful. You went to the second one, meditation of my heart, but you forgot that it started off with the words of my mouth. Hmm? Speaking it, saying it, believing it. When's the last time that you allowed the Holy Spirit to speak through you? Huh? Well, you know, I'm not trying to mess the service up or anything. I'm just, you know, I just want the Lord. Thank you, Father, for using me for a guest. But when's the last time you actually allowed him to have his way? Huh? It'll mess your church up. You see that? Well, every time we come to church, you got to get up for 5 minutes and talk about what God did. But thank God somebody's testifying. Where's your testimony? Amen. It says, and do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another, here we go again, in psalms and hymns, in spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Amen. So we serve one another. We submit to one another. Amen. One of the hardest things that you'll ever do is come across somebody or have to deal with somebody who don't feel that they need help. especially when everybody else sees them about to drive. Here they are. I got it. No, you don't have it. If you had it, wouldn't nobody be looking at you? Amen? But pride keeps you from being able to do that. I was sharing with the congregation after we finished our broadcast on Saturday. I said, listen, you have to understand something. The Bible says, husband, submit to your wife. You know, and I said, this is the problem here. When you start talking about submit, the first thing that happens is the 90s. You know, we used to talk about the 90s woman and all of that. But guess what? It's not the 90s woman anymore. Amen. It is the mindset that we have as a society as to the validity of whether or not people can speak to us or say anything to us. I think one of the worst things in the world was that we've lost the ability to have influence in other people's ears because no one wants to submit to anybody. We've taken that part of the vow out of the marriage, you know, and I want you to know that we still believe in the submit part, amen? If you submit, then you can probably, within your husband and your wife coming together, you can avoid a whole lot of traps, amen? Your friend tells you that, you know, if it was me, and you turn around because your friends said it, and they seem to have a good head on their shoulders, and you need to check and see if they still got a good relationship, amen, because some of the advice that you most times get from your friend told me, it's not the advice you should be following. If we follow this word, submit to your husband, wives. Notice I said wives and not women. For all you male chauvinist people out there, the Bible didn't give you dominion over woman. He gave you dominion over wife. Go back and look at it. Well, we didn't want you to say nothing about that because we've been enjoying the fact that there's a male-dominant society out here. But guess what? God gave us dominion. He told us to go forth, be fruitful, and multiply. He told us to go out and subdue. Okay? And he blessed them. You see that? That's what the Word of God says. Amen. Only in the marriage is the wife submissive or the female submissive to the male, which is why we have all these other problems. Because when you begin to change position and change responsibilities, then that means that you have no identity biblically. Have to get into that at a different time because the problem is that we have too many people trying to identify themselves as a modern relationship or a modern family without really taking on what Jesus Christ said and what the Bible says. Amen. This isn't new. It's not rocket science. Amen. But we got to get this all together. Amen. Listen. I want to end the broadcast today and just talk to you concerning what God is saying. There are several things that are happening and there's shifting in the atmosphere. The thing about a shift in the atmosphere is that when there's a shift in the atmosphere and you don't prepare yourself for it, you'll find yourself either out of breath and fatigued or you'll find yourself overcome by it. What I mean by that is Prophetess and I went on vacation. We went to Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And the problem is that when we got up there, the air in the mountains was so thin that I was having a hard time breathing. But guess what? We got it together real quick. Mm-hmm. That some of you need to get it together. God is speaking and saying the atmosphere is changing, and I want you to prepare yourself for what I'm about to do.
Yes.
Speak it. Say it. Look forward. Extend your faith towards it. God said, I'm about to do a new thing in this world and in this time, and you have to be ready for what I'm going to do. So let him who have an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Father, right now, Lord, I thank you for this word. I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you, Lord, that even though we had some technical difficulties on this broadcast tonight, you're still God and you're still awesome and you're still marvelous. Now, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to go forward and do the work that you called us to do. I bind every wayward spirit in the name of Jesus, and I speak wholeness in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done for us. Now, Lord, I pray for those who are not saved, that they would simply pray this prayer. Lord, they would say, Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Father, if they prayed their prayer, I pray that you would lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible believing church where they can be mature and develop and go on to do the assignments that you called them to do in the name of Jesus. Now, we thank you for every miracle, sign, and wonder. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you'll find out more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Lord Jesus. This is Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you that it's God's will for you to live the kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.